we're going to continue our study of the fruit of the Spirit, specifically the last one that is mentioned, that of temperance. Last week we defined what it was and showed that it extends to more than just control of what you eat and what you drink. It really goes far beyond that, where we bring ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to look at some, what I call, some keys to cultivating temperance. How can this grace be nurtured in our lives? What can we do? Now, I alluded to this a little bit last week when I talked about surrender and submission to God's will. But first and foremost, if we're going to gain mastery over our fleshly passions, we must be committed to daily surrender of ourselves to the authority and the mastery of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the very moment you're saved, you acknowledge Christ as your Lord, as your King, and that you and I are to have the same kind of attitude as Paul the Apostle had the day that he was saved on the road to Damascus when he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" If we would daily put this into practice, we would have this kind of a submissive attitude that would regulate every area of our life. "Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me say? Where will you have me go? How would you have me behave and act?" And we'd be well on our way to cultivating this grace of temperance. And you understand, and I've emphasized this all the way through, every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's produced by the power and the inworking of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Daily surrender to Christ means that we are willing to do, to think, and say only what pleases and glorifies our Lord. It means that we are committed to doing the will of God even at the expense of our own will and our own desires. Now, folks, that is a big ask, because we are far too self-interested. We are often concerned more about what pleases us than what pleases the Lord. It means that we are to be dedicated to the premise that we're to be governed and controlled by what brings glory to God rather than the fulfillment of our fleshly desires. And if we operated according to this principle, we would just naturally cut out a bunch of junk in our lives that hinder us. Now, some would object and say, "Wow, man, you're not giving any room for allowance." Some might say that's just too high of an ideal to press for. But here's what the Scriptures say. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." I mean, it comes down to what you eat, what you drink, and then he gives the all-encompassing statement, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Are we doing that? Did you think about that today? When you were at work, did you regard the opportunity that God gave you, the health He gave you, the intelligence and the ability that He gave you? Did you do what you did to glorify Him? Did you view your day as an act of worship? Because that's what all of life is to be. If we're consecrated, if we're dedicated, everything we do should be done to the glory of God. We must be willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of our appetites and desires, our thoughts and emotions, if we're really going to cultivate the virtue of temperance and self-control. So it all comes down to this. Christ is our standard. He did those things which always pleased the Father. This is our standard. I like what the old writer George Bethune said. The Christian has full confidence in the wisdom of all God's requirements, recognizes that his very heart is visible to God's all-seeing eye, and that he is responsible at the judgment for every thought and motive as well as act. He therefore conforms his heart to the divine will, cultivates communion with God, and keeps his thoughts with all diligence, for they are the issues of life. The first rule then for the cultivation of temperance should be the entire consecration of the heart to the glory of God. Where are you in this quest? Where's your heart tonight? What's it set upon? Number two, the second ingredient necessary to this cultivation of temperance is the use of sound judgment based upon the standards of righteousness that are set forth in the Scriptures. This is seen all the way through the Bible. Psalm 119, 104 and 105, he said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Listen, if you really believe God's word, you're going to love what he loves. You're going to hate what he hates. That's the essence of holiness. Loving what God loves, hating what he hates. Hating every false way. The Scriptures reveal to us those things that God loves and delights in, as well as those things that he hates and despises and considers to be abominable. The more familiar that we are with the precepts of Scripture, the better able we will be to implement the principles of godliness into our lives. But if you're not connected to the Word of God, if it's not finding a place in your life, then you are not going to be temperate. You're not going to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. You want to know what God's revealed. It's in His Word. This book ought to be the most important one in your life, in your library. God's Word. The Holy Word of the Living God. The Scriptures provide a standard by which we may make right decisions. And that's the essence of sound judgment. Sound judgment enables us to embrace those things which God delights in and to refrain from those things which God despises. The wise man said in Proverbs 6, verse 23 and 24, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. God's word will keep you from immorality. Proverbs 13, verses 13 through 16. Reveal the necessity of sound judgment to the cultivation of temperance and perseverance in holiness. Here's what it says. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. That's why our country's being destroyed. The wise men are ashamed and taken. They have despised the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in them? Every university president, by and large, is an evolutionist. Many of them are atheists. Many of them are completely set against God. And it's no wonder that our young people are being destroyed by heresy and hellish teaching. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. You know, you're not a possessor of true knowledge unless it's guided by Scripture. Jerry Bridges said this, "Sound judgment is the beginning of self-control, and the Bible is absolutely essential to its exercise. Sound judgment must be based on a thorough knowledge of God's standard as revealed in the Scriptures for our bodies, our thoughts, and emotions. It is sound judgment growing out of reflection on the Word of God that warns us when the enemy of sinful desire is assaulting the citadel of our hearts." Again, where does the Word of God figure into your life? Are you personally reading it, memorizing it, meditating upon it, applying it, living it out, talking about it? God's principles found in His Word are the basis of all sound judgment. You can't have it apart from the Word of God. Number three, another essential ingredient to the cultivation of temperance is the development of spiritual strength to do what is right through the exercise of discipline. Got to be disciplined, Gavin. If you're not disciplined, your life will be a disaster. If we're to cultivate and practice the principles of temperance, we must discipline ourselves in the way of godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 9 says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." The alternative to maintaining discipline in the Christian life is disaster. What do I say about the Bible reading? BBB. Bible before breakfast. Let the Word of God be the rudder for your day to guide you and direct you. Start off with the Word in some form or fashion so that your mind is right from the beginning of your day. without spiritual disciplines in the areas of Bible intake, where you have regular Bible reading, Bible devotion, prayer, where you talk to God, worship, both privately, in your family, and in the Lord's house. These are all disciplines that we ought to have. The discipline of witnessing, telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If those things are not operating in your life, you're going to become weak and inefficient in your service to God. Discipline is what provides spiritual strength to implement the principles of sound judgment into our daily lives. It would shock you to see how your average person goes about, your average Christian goes about his day with no discipline, no forethought, no outline. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In essence, the wise man was saying that the lack of self-control cultivated through discipline makes a believer easy prey for the enemy to attack and to conquer. I'm grateful for my pastor, Brother Farrell. The day that I was saved, and soon thereafter, he said, you ought to read your Bible 10 pages a day. And I thought, well, I can do that. I did. I mean, at the time I was a student in college. And you can't believe the amount. Back then, you actually had to read to get a degree. It wasn't just Marxist propaganda. You actually had to learn things and retain them. And I thought, 10 pages of the Bible a day? I can do that. Could you do that, Gavin? Oh, boy. Yes, that's what I like, son. Ambition. Godly ambition. Yeah, you can read the Bible. You ought to discipline yourself every day to read a portion of the Word of God. You see, without discipline, we become defenseless against sin and Satan and the world. A man who has no discipline over himself allows temptation to become the occasion for sin. If we're going to be victorious in the practice of temperance, we have to learn to bring our bodies under subjection. Really, it's easier said than done. But everything starts out with that first step. That first step of discipline. And the determination in your heart that you're going to do it. And you're going to do it for the glory of God. Paul the Apostle said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what a castaway is? Somebody that is on an island, has no influence whatsoever. I don't want my life to be like that. I want to have influence for good, for God, for truth. And it takes discipline. It takes temperance. You know, these people that are resisting arrest and ultimately getting shot by police officers. I don't know all the details, and I don't presume to know all of it, but I will tell you this. You better be teaching your children to be under control, to learn what it means to submit to authority. If a police officer stops you, say, yes, sir, no, sir. Be under control. Be disciplined enough not to lose your cool. I'll close with this. Elton Trueblood wrote, "We have not advanced very far in our spiritual lives if we have not encountered the basic paradox of freedom, that we are most free when we are bound. But not just any way of being bound will suffice. What matters is the character of our binding. The one who would be an athlete, but who is unwilling to discipline his body by regular exercise and abstinence, is not free to excel on the field or the track. His failure to train rigorously denies him the freedom to run with the desired speed and endurance. With one concerted voice, the giants of the devotional life apply the same principle to the whole of life. Discipline is the price of freedom." Surrender to God's will. Application of sound judgment through the Word of God. And then the principle of discipline. All necessary if you are going to gain control and be under the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God.